fucking awesome. Come on, it's gonna be fucking awesome.
You know the words.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
That's insane.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
All right, here goes. I don't know what to call this show. I keep trying to think of all these different names because I am truly a voice of reason in the middle. And I love everybody in comics and geek culture especially. And I want to see us come together. So when you're trying to talk from the center about things that have become so polarized, all of a sudden everything gets really touchy. Like, I shouldn't have to tell you all the things that I'm about to tell you about myself to explain to you how ridiculous I find the idea that somebody might call me sexist, racist, anything, ignorant on any level. Because of a position I might take. And these are really absurd times to be in when war has moved from the battlefield to the internet. And I know everybody knows the old adage, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. If only that were true. If only that were true. It's not true. So I just want to say in the beginning, you know, I love everybody. I really am trying to shame the people who are shaming in a way that maybe makes them realize that they're shaming and that that isn't the right thing. I don't like to bring things to people's attention that they don't want to see. I understand you don't want to see this stuff. Nobody wants to see that they've been making a big mistake. But I believe that mainstream geek culture has been making a big mistake. And I think that we're smarter than this. I love my geek culture brothers because we are patient and we are kind and we are humble. We are willing to look up to Superman, as opposed to going around, so many men, they're so practical. Us men, we're so practical. I'm not a typical man myself. I'm somewhere in the LGBTQ spectrum, whatever. I don't like to talk about that because I think that it's all very divisive. Correcting anybody, trying to force anybody to do anything is exactly what we're against, guys. I came up at a time when I was told many times in school that I was going to hell. And I just thought that that was the most horrible thing that you could ever say to somebody. Was that they you're going to hell. It's just insane, I thought, that people are just walking around this planet telling other people that they're going to be tortured for eternity. Because I'm doing something different than they are. I literally have based my entire life on the idea of saying fuck you to that idea that I'm not allowed to do it differently. If I want to do it differently, I will. And nobody gets to say. And we have a terrible time that we're living in where people like me who are like, screw this, we've gotten into power. And now, because we think we're doing the right thing, we're trying to force the other people to think the way we think. You can't force people to think the way you think. I'm telling you, it's diminishing returns. What did you do as a kid when your parents told you you're not allowed to curse? You said, fuck that. I'm going to go out and I'm going to curse. That's what we do. That's what souls do. It's not children. It's souls. We believe in free will and sovereignty. We are fighting every day to be our most genuine selves. You know, so this is why the idea of like the Borg is so terrifying to us. Because, oh my God, complete conformity. I got to do what everybody says. Like, and then those people at the tippy top are trying to lead us into hazing the other people the way we were being hazed by them. I like to tell this story all the time, and I wish I had other fucking examples of it, because it makes me look good. But it's the right thing to do. I'm a football player. I was on the football team. They always made the younger grades pick up all the stuff. So like the older kids would go in and we'd all have to pick up the pads and pick up the things and whatever else because they had earned it. They had earned it. There were kids who joined the team that year, you know, like, and there would always be. But they, the seniors, they got to tell us to pick up the pads. And I remember the very first day of practice, it's my senior year, I start picking up pads and he goes, "Nah, man, like, they got to do it now. We're the seniors." And I said, "Yo, dude, don't I remember you and I complaining and bitching about how fucked up that was just last year?" And he was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "So why don't we stop that stupid tradition and, you know, progress, do it better than that?" Right? Wouldn't that be nice? Okay, cool. So I think you're probably with me here. I remember I had a conversation, and I probably talked about this before. I've talked about it somewhere with a great friend of mine. He happens to be a black guy. He's a really handsome black guy. He's huge, man. I mean, like, this dude is like, if you were a man, if you were a scientist and you're like, "I need to make a body for me. I need to blend in with this black civilization. Here's a black man." He is like the perfect black man. He's the one that you would make. You'd be like, "That's the one. Perfect. Good body. Got it. Gonna wear that. Gonna go wear that out. It's my black outfit. This is my Hispanic outfit. And this is my white outfit." See, this is what you think when you really are like for me, they're like, racism is like, it's like, what do you mean? Diversity of life? Diversity of life is the best. Diversity of life. It's so great. Look at all the different types of frogs. Look at all the different types of humans. They're all beautiful. It's all awesome. It's so cool to learn all the new things. There's new things. There's all these new things. Everything is so different. It's amazing. Okay, this is the person who's talking to you today. Somebody who loves diversity of life. Somebody who wants everybody to like them because I deserve it. Because I'm a good guy to them. Because I care about the right things. Because I think about them. And I'm open to their input. And I'm willing to cooperate. You know, a lot of people are just out for themselves. And I think people who love geek culture stuff, I think that in general, we are out for the group. I mean, just think of the idea that, like, we go into the journey of reading books. Some of them suck. Some of them are slogs. If you're a book reader, you know what it is. You're reading this thing, you just got to get through it. And it's like, becomes like homework instead of enjoyment. We do that for the rest of humanity. A lot of people in comics don't realize that a bulk of the audience is collectors and they don't read the books. We read the books. So when the books suck, it's us who suffers. We have to suffer through the crappy stuff. And because we've read a lot, you know, we know what's good. We know what's really good because we've read a lot. And it's like, you know, experience in life is what teaches you everything. This is why I hate the conversation that goes on the internet, because most of the people speaking, they don't know enough. They don't know anything. They're just speaking because they want to be speaking. Motivation for speaking is a different trait than fucking actually knowing things. So in order for somebody on social media to be useful to you in your life, sorry, that was my card. I've got kids speaking in the background, but I feel good about what I'm saying. So I just want to continue, and I don't care about some of the noise going on, but let me fix my charger. They have to be a person who is both super interested in being heard because they're motivated in some way to be heard, to make a certain point, to change something. Or they have to be a person who just wants to be the center of all the things. Me personally, I have a real difficulty with being the center of things. Apparently, according to my horoscope from my sister, my like journey in life is to get used to it. And I keep finding myself in this position in my careers where I'm just like, get used to it. If I want something done right, I got to do it myself. And like things aren't as good as they could be because the people in between the artist and the machine are, they're gumming it up, man. And it's not all their fault. There's lots of wonderful people who are stuck in the machine. The machine sucks. It does. This is why one of my favorite bands is Rage Against the Machine. And it's so funny because the members of Rage Against the Machine have become a part of the machine. They've all become parts of the machine. You know, my dad, to a certain degree, I love my dad. He's the best. He's a little bit in the machine. Everybody is either constantly fighting to stay out of the machine, or they're slowly getting comfortable in the machine. I've never been comfortable in the machine. I've always wanted to make the machine more comfortable for the people who I saw were suffering. That meant black people, that meant, you know, any member of the LGBT community, you know, people with difficulties, whatever my heart could bleed for, it was. I came up at a time when these things were not spoken about. It was not widely known. And I was always just kind of telling anybody who would listen about the injustices that were going on planet Earth. It's truly awful now. It was truly awful then. Now the conversation has just made it all way more complicated to actually get anything done. And that's the big problem. We need to get some shit done, guys. The comics are just getting worse. The movies are just getting worse. The society is just getting worse from how we're behaving. I call to all of you guys out there who are like me, who are heroes, who love comic books because of the diversity they've always represented. Say what you will, but there's a reason why we all read the X-Men. Diversity. And not that silly diversity, you know, superficial diversity where it's like, look, everybody's a slightly different color and their noses are all shaped differently. It's the diversity of character and meaning. You know, there was meaning to have a German Kurt Wagner on the team in Giant Size X-Men. He's a German. People have feelings about Germans because of World War II and the Nazis. There's meaning behind having Colossus, a Russian, because of the Cold War. These are both white people. They're different. They're all different. They're all coming from different places, coming from different cultures. When did we stop really understanding differences? Nowadays, I feel like there's all this diversity, but it's very soulless. And I don't really feel like they do a very good job of communicating culture and giving people the struggle that they deserve to have so that they can endear themselves to the audience and be shown to be someone who can go through great struggle. Strong people are people who can go through great struggle. We can go through it, we can come out the other side and not be bitter and disturbed and awful because of it. That's strength. Strength is, this was awful, but here I am on the other end of it, and I'm better for it, too. And I will never let difficult circumstances turn me into a bastard. I remember one day I had a guy, I used to work at a comic book store when I was a kid, Planet Comics, shout out to my old crew. And one of the dudes on the staff, he was being like really nasty to me. And I was just like, hey man, how's it going? And like, you know, I'm a super friendly guy. You see me on the show, like, you know, like my assumption is like, we're cool. I carry myself like a real tough guy because my dad's really masculine and like I learned how to be really masculine, but I'm a very kind of feminine dude and very soft and sweet. I'm a big Care Bear. I like to create things and I like to laugh and I like to have a good time. So I'm always just looking to have fun and looking to smile and, you know, that's me in a nutshell. No, this is me in a nutshell. Help! How do I get in this bloody nutshell? See, and these are the things that I think with my mind as I'm just going around through the world having a fun time. That's one of the reasons why living in this time is like, oh, I hate it. I hate it. Everybody's got to be careful about what they say. And like, I'm awesome. Nobody should be assuming crappy things about me. You know, this show's called Coolest Geek Alive because I have dedicated myself to being cool to other people, to being empathetic and cool and being minded of like, you know, that we're all one. And like, I always have more fun with people. I like to play games with groups of people. You know, I like to drink and, you know, smoke marijuana with people, you know, in a group of people, sharing a little bit of a smoke or a drink together. It's just wonderful to share. I don't like to eat by myself. I like to eat with people. And I won't eat if there's nobody to eat with sometimes. Because everything's better. Everything's better with people. You need somebody to love. You need people to be friends with. And me, you know, I was raised in a colorblind house. You know, my dad learned quick, as, you know, having some Jewish background or whatever, you know, a little bit of racism or whatever things that his family, my family, had to deal with. My mom, she, I forget what the story was, but my dad had like fallen in love with her from this story where she, there was some joke being made that was like, I guess, a racist joke, and she didn't even understand why it was funny. She was like, why is that funny? And then he explained, and she was like, oh, I don't understand. And it just demonstrated how colorblind my mother was. That, like, what does that mean? And for me, when you grow up in a colorblind home and you are meeting other people and there's a television and the television has people of all varieties on it, like, I mean, I never thought about hating somebody because of the color that they are. It just seems like the most ridiculous thing as a child. And please don't take this as a judgment if you're out there and you've had a different experience than I have. Please. I've been not wanting to like have this conversation really because of how complicated it can be and how touchy some people have become. It's not even that they're touchy. It's just like they've allowed themselves to really like feel righteous about making a storm about certain things. And I don't think it's really right. I mean, I understand. I'm a punk too. But I'm a punk and I go to a concert and I friggin' rage out on the stage. I rage out in my bedroom. I don't actually go out into the world and actively try to punch a Nazi. I'm not trying to provoke the next war. Like, that's what's going on right now. As the people who I feel like I was one of our leaders, man. I'm 41. You know, I'm the child of a rock star. And they gave me some stupid, useless power because I was the child of a rock star. And I had to acknowledge it and see that it was there because people kept, you know, kind of pointing it out to me in some fashions. And other ways, it was just sort of glaring that I was being given power over certain people. And other people were really hating me because they felt like I was being given power that wasn't my fair share. I didn't earn that power and I'm going to have that power. So I became a person who was going to like put their arm behind their back and like just so I could prove that I freaking deserved it. And then I was, you know, just as honorable as I could be. I was like, they gave me this false power. I'm going to give this false power out to everybody. I'm going to help raise everybody up and make everybody realize that we're the same and that it's okay. You know, the same. And I was motivated by that because I was made to feel less than from my father. And, you know, in some ways through his own fault, you know, he's not trying to do this, but the society kept telling me he is this and I am this other thing. Because, I mean, you know, I've become whatever it is that I've become. But I started out as just a kid, you know? So coming from this place, I saw that there's all this false nonsense bravado being given to people for no good reason. And, you know, essentially this is the reason why we don't have Gandalf for president. You know, I keep making this joke, you know, it's like I want Gandalf in, you know, a nice suit with a long beard, twirling his beard. And when somebody comes in and goes, hey, we don't know what to do about, you know, reproductive rights, you know, and this person sits there and it doesn't matter that it's a man. I'm not saying it's got to be a freaking man. Gandalf is feminine. You know, he's a creative man. He's a man who can problem solve. You know, the feminine energy does not belong to just you women. Feminine, I own a lot of feminine energy. And yeah, dude, the world could use some feminine energy. But the problem is we're not getting any feminine energy in. We're getting a lot of masculine energy in the bodies of women. That's not what we want. We don't want more masculine energy. We wanted the feminine. That's what we were saying. It was a metaphor when we were saying we need the women to take over the earth. What we really mean is we need the female energy to take over the world. And the female energy is loving. It's loving. It's caring. We got to be like the bonobos. They're famously the monkeys, they're chimpanzees that solve all their disputes with sex. When they meet each other, they solve all their disputes with sex. And we don't necessarily have to solve all of our disputes with sex, but we do have to start solving all of our disputes with sugar, with sweetness, with kindness. And, you know, that's what I'm all about. You know, I want to see us achieve better. And we've got a problem right now where the conversations that we need to have are on the other side of these lynch mobs that we're sending after the people who are being accused of wrong think. This isn't... Star Trek is one of my favorite shows. Star Trek has what's called the Prime Directive. The Prime Directive states that you do not interfere with a developing civilization. In many alien circles, and I don't know if you're... If aliens seem like a crazy thing to you, you really got to do some reading. Don't be afraid. If they were going to hurt us, they would have did it already. They're all over the place. And in those circles, they discuss the Prime Directive. You don't interfere with the developing civilization. And they're not interfering with us. We have to save ourselves. We have to save our civilization. And I really believe in us. I believe in us geeks. I think that we're the smart ones who can handle this the way it needs to be handled. Respectable and cool and strong. Being a superhero, as it turns out, isn't about being as strong as Superman. It's about having the will to stand before others and speak your peace and strength and knowing that you're not crazy. That we've all gone crazy. And you've been able to wrestle yourself away from that crazy cycle of grabbing pitchforks and hunting down Frankenstein. And why do we love villains? Because Frankenstein didn't deserve that. He didn't deserve to be hunted down by the mob. He was being persecuted for no reason. He looked scary, but he was like an infant in a giant scary body. And this is everybody. We all feel like the villains. We all get made to feel like the villains. Everybody does. Because life isn't perfect all the time. So invariably, you end up getting to feel like a villain. And that's why we love the villains. Because on some level, we empathize with them. We know that the Joker is only like this because something in him has really broken in a terrible way. And we wouldn't want to wish the way he's broken on anybody. We don't want anybody to have to go through whatever he went through to become this broken. That's essentially what we as human beings empathize on these characters when they're villains. If they're done right. And that's the depth that you need to explore as a writer when you're making these characters. That they are vessels for us to explore the vastness of our darkness, the vastness of our light. And that's why we need our really clean heroes like Superman to be perfect, because it gives us something to aspire to. And it's not that they're so much perfect as they just, the struggle is finding a better way. And as long as they never give up that fight to find a better way, then they win. You know, and I guess as I say that to you right now, I feel like I win. Because I've never given up that fight. From a young age, I went, these Care Bears and these Muppets, and like, this is the world I want to live in, where we support our friends and we're all creative geniuses in our own way, and we all get to see each other grow. You know, one of my best friends, I got to see him recently. He and I were estranged for a little while, and it was a lot of misunderstandings, things that, you know, I won't get into here, but we were really just, it was the universe separating us for some reason. And now we've come back to each other, and basically we've realized, you know, that the problems we were having were, you know, in our minds, and that the solutions were there all along, and, you know, we're good friends again. And sometimes that's how the relationship goes. Sometimes you have to separate so that you can come back with better gratitude and better appreciation and in the right state of mind. And sometimes it's not even necessarily you that have to change. Sometimes it might be them that needs to change, and you need to get a breather, you know. And even if it's not true, and it is you that needs to change, but tell yourself that it's not you that needs to change, because whatever makes you do the thing that you need to do, great. The path of least resistance. I know that seems like the wrong thing to say. Take the path of least resistance. No. Figure out what you're doing, what your purpose is, what you're going to do, and then take the path of least resistance to get it. These friends that we have, this world that we have, it's a gift to us. If your friend is in that business and they could help you, reach out to that friend in that business and have them help you. You know, we are a giant machine, and it doesn't operate when we don't interact with one another. We're here to have a great time, you know, and I have a hard time learning that lesson myself, because when I struggle with depression and anxiety, you know, one of the reasons why I like that this is a podcast and it's not on video, because like, I think when I can see myself, I'm like so self-conscious of myself. I hate that people can like see me and see what I look like. And it makes me feel so uncomfortable on so many levels. Like I value my mind. You know, I value my mind. I value the things that I have to offer intellectually. And I've tried to hone my mind into something that would be valuable to people. I wanted to be valuable to my children. I felt that my father was very wise and imparted so much information to me. And I loved him for that. And I put myself on a path of being an information machine, because he knew so many things about so many things. And a lot of it was because he had practical experience in the world. And practical experience in the world is the most necessary thing. And it's the thing that makes it so easy to trick and bamboozle everybody right now, because most people don't have a lot of practical experience in the world. You know, like I'm one of us. I'm one of these good guys. I'm very shy. I have a hard time. You know, the reason I wrote our theme song, I don't know if you like it, but I love our theme song. I'm so proud of it. It's such a fun thing. And, you know, it wasn't meant to be a song. It was just meant to be exactly what it was. And it's exactly what I envisioned it to be with my friend Andre Padre Holmes. Shout out to Andre. Yeah. Oh, my God. I love our theme song. And I'm a good musician. But I basically forced myself into this position where I decided that the only way I was going to let myself succeed in music, because my father was a rock star and I wanted to prove that it was me, was if basically somebody came to me thrilled with what I was doing and wanted to sign me. And that happened a few times, but it was always really small labels. And it's funny because really small labels have become the thing, and I should have taken one of those really small label deals. But it all seemed like small and meaningless and not the thing that I wanted to prove, because my dad was a major label recording artist and I wanted to do that. So I set a boundary for myself that prevented me from making progress. We're presenting boundaries for ourselves all the time in the current day landscape if you are leaning to the liberal side of things. I can't say that I am leaning to the liberal side of things anymore. The jokes have gotten funnier on the right. This is the thing. Like I laughed for years at the right. I laughed for years at them. And now I'm laughing at the left. And I'm sorry, but it's become funny. And it's terrible that we have done the thing where we're hazing the people. They were hazing us, so we're hazing them. Nah, man, come on. We were supposed to save the world and make it a better place. Heal the world.
world, make it a better place for you and for me and the entire human race. There are people dying if you care enough for the living. Make a better place for you and for me.
I'm sorry. I'm sure I could perfect that and make it good. I'm a singer and I should, but this is my podcast and I'm not going to go back and fix it.
I'm starting with the man in the mirror.
And I don't care if he was a freaking pedophile. I hope that he wasn't. I like to think that he wasn't. You know, it's you can't hate on Walt Disney, you know, because he's a racist. Was he a racist? I'm not so sure. Some of my first introduction to black people was watching the sing-along videos over and over and over again. The VHS that I had with Uncle Remus from Songs of the South, because the songs were so great and because I adored that man. So, like, I've seen him prop up many, many black people. Are we really going to go back and, like, and retroactively just, like, color all of the good that that man did evil now? Like, please, can we not do that? I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that for anybody. Like, you know, I don't want it to come out that Muhammad Ali sucked. You know, I don't want to find out terrible things about my heroes. My heroes are all over the place. I'm just in the middle dealing with you guys being dicks to each other. I love Black Panther and I love Captain America basically the same. You know, they're both guys who are living up to an ideal that they think that they have to be. Well, actually, that's not true. I kind of like Black Panther more because Black Panther, he's a king and he's trying to live up to that Captain America ideal that Captain America is basically setting the standard for in like the Avengers, you know, but he also has to please his constituents because he's a king. Oh, that's a difficult situation to be in. He's got to please the members of the kingdom and he's got to please everybody else, like for the good of mankind kind of thing, but also has to please Wakanda. That's cool. That's why I like Black Panther. I don't give a shit that he's black. I don't care. I like his character. His character demonstrates his character. And I like people with character. I don't automatically like you. Well, I kind of do. I'm a dog with his wagging tail. But I mean, when it comes to you being a person out in the universe that I have to deal with, because I'm a person in the universe trying to communicate with the other people and trying to change the world for the better, to make it a better place. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm on the microphone. That's why I read comic books. That's why I write comic books. That's why I'm in the world. I'm in the world to make this world a better place. That's what I want. I believe that the geek culture community is with me on this. I believe in us. I believe that we are the meek who will inherit the earth. They mispronounced it. It was the geeks shall inherit the earth. But we can't be completely meek. We have to open our mouths in the right way and be the beautiful intellectual people that we are, who can properly expound and expand on these things until they get fucking tired and have to go to bed because they can't hear us think anymore. That's what it should be. All of these people on Twitter should get tired and go to bed because they're in conversations with people who can think circles around them. You are my peeps. You are here. If you are listening to this show, I'm sure you can think circles around these people. You can't be afraid of these lesser intellects. They have monopolized making fun of us and bullying us in conversations and gaslighting us and all these different tactics. And now these tactics are being used by the presumably good and responsible people who pushed for racial equality and LGBTQ equality and all these things which were good and necessary. But now they're using that, aha, I am the good person, to be bad people. At the very least, very rude people. And there are people on both sides being very rude, and everybody needs to stop being so crazy. We all need, you know, if you're on the right, you gotta leave the door open for your girl, the girl you love. You gotta leave the door open for her to come back in to your life if you want the thing to work out. I don't know about you guys, but like, can we all think about it right now? What do you want to see happen here on planet Earth? I want to see it work out. Do you want to see it work out? Hey, Jesse, I want to see it work out. I want to see it work out. I'd like to see it work out. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if we were older and we didn't have to wait so long? Wouldn't it be nice to live together in the kind of world where we belong? There are more ants than grasshoppers. We need to politely stand up and have a voice in this conversation. It's so funny. I was so worried about getting negative feedback to various things that I've been writing and thinking about and saying on my podcast, and I've gotten nothing but support from everyone. Just letters of affirmation and just from everybody. And, you know, people who will tell me, you know, I don't think exactly like you think, but I understand exactly where you're coming from. And everything that you say resonates with me, whether I agree with it entirely or not. And that's what I hope for. Everybody, please have your own thoughts on things. You know, don't let my brain be your brain. You know, but do be active in the conversation by reading things. Go read books. Read them. They're great. There are some great books. You know, I used to have a website, I Don't Know Shit About Comics, and I have lists that I've made of some of the best comic books that you can get into. And if you write me at jesseblaze@jessesnyder.com, I will send you some of these lists that I have. And there's like things of like, if you really like crime, read these comics. If you really like sci-fi, read these comics. If you really like fantasy, read these comics. If you really want to get into Spider-Man, start here. If you really want to get into Batman, start here. That kind of stuff. Hit me up. jesseblaze@jessesnyder.com. Hit me up and I will send you lists of the best comic books to begin your journey getting into any of your favorite characters from the films or the TV shows, getting you into comics as a medium with stories that you've never heard of before but are fucking awesome. Hit me up, jesseblaze@jessesnyder.com. I still have all the lists from when I was doing the I Don't Know Shit About Comics thing, which was my little like service to the industry that I used to do at conventions, but I only did it for a little while. I was telling you how gifted my friend was, my black friend, because I want you to see that even this person who is so gifted in all these ways, when we were having this conversation about race swapping in, you know, and it started with a lot of anime films where they had changed the entire cast, you know, whitewashed the cast as it was known at the time. And we went through a number of different movies and we were like, oh God, and this one, and this one, and this one, why'd they fuck up this one? And why'd they do this to this one? And this one, and this one. And, finally we got to the recent race swapping of Wally West. And I was like, ah, and Wally West. And he went, nah, I don't care about that. And I said, what do you mean you don't care about that? And he said, well, they've been doing it to us for years. And I'm not sure if I said, but I haven't been doing it to you for years. And that's a character that's become like one of my best friends. And when you race swap the character, it's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Invent a new character. Create as much diversity as you want. But once the character is formed, that's the character. And then you're just like putting like a new window dressing on them. But it doesn't feel right. It never feels right when you change the thing that we love. I mean, we're not asking you to do that. Nobody is asking you to change the original thing to something else. So like, I shouldn't even have to be sitting here talking about it. I hate that when I sit here and I talk about it, I sound like I might be racist or something. It's freaking ridiculous. I don't want a white Black Panther. I don't want a female Blade or a white Blade or a Hispanic Blade. I don't want one of my favorite characters at DC, Mr. Terrific, to be turned into a Middle Eastern guy. I want them all to be exactly the thing that they are, exactly the thing that I met them as, exactly the thing that I've come to know and love them as. I want them to be that thing. And I don't believe that anybody is asking anybody else to change any beloved character in any way, shape, or form like that, physically. Hey, could you make this character that I've already fallen in love with look different so I feel weird? No, nobody is saying that. And you're not racist for being like, this isn't exactly the thing that I wanted. It's not. It's not the thing you wanted. They arbitrarily changed something for no freaking good reason. Maybe on some level they think they're doing a good thing, but do your good thing anywhere else, but, you know, in the place where we already have things we decided we liked. And us not wanting you to change existing characters that we already like into other races does not mean we don't like those other races. Introduce those other races in other ways. Don't introduce us to other races by retroactively making Superman a purple polka-dotted alien. We like them as they are. That doesn't mean we don't like other people. It just means that we already do have affection for this one as it is. Please stop adjusting them. I shouldn't have to have this conversation. Nobody said, hey, can you make Captain America black? And I mean, Captain America Black is a little bit of a different situation because you got Falcon moving into that position. And obviously, we all knew that the original Captain America was going to come back because everybody knows, you know, Bruce Wayne is Batman. It doesn't matter who you put in that cape and cowl. It's Bruce Wayne that we've built up this idea about in our mind. You know, it's Steve Rogers that we've built up this idea about in our mind. And it's okay for the Falcon to come into that role for a moment. And like, it's not a big deal about having a black Captain America. And we can have other characters that are like Captain America who are black. That wouldn't be a big deal. There are ways to expand the universe and be inclusive and have it be cool. I mean, one of the great miniseries from the Joe Quesada era of things was the Truth miniseries, which was about the experimental super soldier program that they did after Steve. And that was really cool. There's the Isaiah Bradley character. I thought they should have really done more with him, honestly. And I was surprised that they didn't. That was a character that was ready for prime time and they should have capitalized on. And people appreciated that miniseries, appreciated that thing. I'm sorry for all the banging around. I'm with my kids for the summer and I don't have a quiet studio to go to record, and I don't want to just be a mean dad and yell at them all the time. So I've decided that I'm just dealing with it, and I hope you'll deal with it too for the content of the conversation. The race swapping was unneeded. The American audiences would have watched a classic anime starring a bunch of Asian people. We recognize that the anime are made by Asian people. We're not racist against Asian people, clearly, and nobody else is either. We're interested in the stories of other cultures. We want to know what's happened in other countries and at other places. That's why we read. This assumption that the audience is fundamentally racist in some way or another and needs to be shown the light is just the most absurd thing ever. I'm kind of disgusted that more of us have not stood up faster. I'm disgusted with myself as well. And said something like, we are being just as lame as the lame people who drove us to this. All the people who wanted to haze back, they're getting to do the thing now. You know, in spiritual circles, when you talk about reincarnation, they'll tell you something that's really upsetting to the people who are living it. And it is that if you were a racist in your last life, in this life, you'll be black or Hispanic. If you were a sexist in your last life, in this life, you're going to be a woman, etc., etc. You will go back and forth. Your greatest enemy will be your best friend. Your best friend will be your greatest enemy. Back and forth it goes to balance the consciousness of God. That's what people in reincarnation situations understand to be true. That the consciousness of the one thing is trying to fix itself. Trying to rebalance itself, bring equilibrium to everything, equalize all the people, all the things, all the ideas. And what does that mean? It means that the loudest voices on the left yesterday are now the loudest voices on the right today. The loudest voices on the right today were yesterday's loudest voices of the left. We are in a cycle, in a crazy mind. And we need to pull ourselves into the center where all of the solutions and good ideas are hiding. They're just past the extreme points of view on the left and right, right in the middle. I think that my audience is filled with the coolest geeks alive. I ask you, please join me. Be cool to each other. Call for peace. Call for reason. Read books. Read comics, read fiction, read nonfiction. Educate yourself. Be the smartest man in the room. Just don't be an idiot. Don't be an asshole. Be kind. Go out there, kick ass, take names, be warrior monks. Because the superheroes of the real world are the Jesuses and the Gandhis and the Martin Luther King Jr.'s. They're the men who find peaceful ways forward. Right now, we've stopped moving. And we need progress forward. So, be the change you want to see. I beg you. And always remember that hurt people, hurt people. Everybody who was operating from a really negative place did not get there alone. We come into this world fresh and bright, and the things that are done to us mold us into who we are. Always try and have mercy and think of the best case scenario, the reason why whoever it might be deserves your forgiveness. Take the high road, turn the other cheek. It's a hard thing to do sometimes, but it is the right thing to do. It's the best thing to do, the best thing for your life, the best thing for the universe, the best thing for our society. Cooler heads must prevail. I love you. Thank you for listening to another fabulous episode of The Coolest Geek Alive. I had such a great time talking about this today. I thought that this was going to be a misery, and largely I'm not like worried about it or anything. I feel really great about everything I said, and I hope that you feel great about everything I said, because I love you. And you know, even if you don't agree with me, it's okay. You know, just I hope we can agree that I should have the right to say it, and I should have the right to think it, and that I'm figuring out my own shit. And you know, the prime directive: don't mess with the free will, man. Let everybody get there on their own. Be here in support of each other. Be cool enough and strong enough. Be a hero that turns the other cheek. We don't need more fighting in the world. Let's leave it in the pages of the comic books and on the films. Let's not have that be the reality that we have to live in every day. I believe that we are the heroes that our society needs. Societies, society, all of them. It's all just one big society. And I feel very connected to my brothers all around the world. We've got a lot of people who listen from all around the world. That's pretty cool. Anyway, I love you guys, really, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for listening to this conversation. It might continue this Saturday. I'm not sure what I'm doing on this show, but Saturday morning we do a show as well, in addition to the Wednesday show. Usually it's a little shorter. If you want to write me, I've been bad about getting a letter together before I record because it's been a little hectic this summer, but you can write me a letter at jesseblaze@jessesnyder.com. As I said, you can write me about all those comic book recommendations. I would love to bring more readers into the fold. And what else? I'm on Twitter, Coolest Geek JBS. You can follow me. And and this is like the last 4 days or something like that of King of Kings. King of Kings number one, my book, my religious satire. It's a big battle of the bands between all these different religious figures who are parodies of rock stars, and they're like, they fight and then they sing songs, and it's just hysterical and a lot of fun. If you haven't had a chance to go over to Kickstarter and pledge to it before the campaign runs out, do so, please. We need you. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening once again, and join me again next time for another fabulous episode of The Coolest Geek Alive. It's my favorite part. You've been listening to Coolest Geek Alive with me, your host, Jesse Blaze Snyder. Don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe for more excellent geek culture content. Thanks for listening. Talking some shit. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Living the shit. My voice gonna be fucking awesome. Food in our mouth. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Get in the mouth. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Tell all your friends. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Call right our text. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Raising the bar. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Straight to the stars. It's gonna be fucking awesome.
be fucking awesome. Fucking awesome. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Just wait. You'll see. You'll all see.
The Podcast Playground. All right.